You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire. Smoke. Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning starts now.
It is Monday, June the 12th, 2017, and this is the Roto Experts in the Morning. Alongside the fantasy executive, Corey Parson, the king, Scott Angle, and CTM Baseball's Matty Modica, I am Greg Sussman. Happy Monday to you all. Hope you stayed cool this weekend. You're staying cool today. Of course, here in New York City, we're in the upper 90s today on June 12th, seemingly just a week after we were in the 50s. But such is the weather here in 2017. Corey, what's going on, man? How was your weekend?
Weekend was pretty good, you know what I'm saying? Spent a little time out there on the island, and kids had a good time. Oh, really?
Yeah.
What part?
I was in Elwood.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was in Valley Stream.
Oh, all right. That's not too far.
Yeah, not too far from, you know, where they had the horse race at. Who won the horse race?
I forget the name of the horse.
Yeah, I forget the name, too. But when are you opening the Hamptons house?
I don't have a Hamptons house. True story, never been to the Hamptons.
Really?
Really?
I would have never guessed that.
Never been to the Hamptons.
I lost a lot of money on that bet.
See, this is what you get. This is what you get.
Hey, Scott, I think you got the boat shoes on today.
I do. I do. I wore them purposely today. It's 95 degrees out in New York City this afternoon. And I got the boat shoes on today. There you go. There you go. Scotty, what's going on, man?
I had a fun weekend. Went to the Kits Expo.
Oh, yeah. You know what's interesting? I was walking around Manhattan on Saturday morning.
Saw a whole bunch of weirdos.
And I did.
You did see a whole bunch of weirdos.
I did. And I saw all these people decked out in their Kits gear. I was like, oh, my God, this is where Scotty is today. Yeah. I was walking down 6th Avenue, and I was like, oh, my God. So there you go. How was it?
Yeah, it was cool. Got to meet Peter Chris for the second time, and looking forward to his concert this week. Had a lot of fun hanging out with other fans, and spent the whole day there, basically, from, like, you know, 11 in the morning to, like, 10 at night.
It's a long day.
I slept till 3 o'clock yesterday.
You slept the day away?
Yeah.
Now,
I woke up in time to see the race, which was a cool ending.
Now, what did you do at this thing?
There were dealer tables.
You don't play poker, though.
No, dealing Kiss merchandise,
oh, okay.
You know, stuff like that.
Right.
Peter Criss and former Kiss guitarist Bruce Kulick from the 80s were there. You got to meet them. He also did, like, a live set where he played, played guitar, and his wife sang, and they did, like, Kiss classics, and then they had a tribute band, like, recreating the whole 1975 set and everything, and it was pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's very good.
So a lot of friends there, you know, stuff like that.
Sure.
It was cool. It was fraternal.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Matty Mo, how was your weekend, man?
The weekend wasn't bad. It was in Staten Island in New York, and I did receive over the weekend the GST football invitation.
Wow. That's something I can't say I received.
Me neither.
Were you in it last year?
I'm quite sure you probably did.
I was in it last year, and I didn't get it.
You probably didn't notice it. It came on the ESPN email.
I notice everything that comes in my mouth.
In your what?
My mail.
Oh, you said in your mouth.
Trying to start up this morning, hating.
When we come back, some of the major baseball headlines from today. Stick around. We'll tell you who we picked up in Fab and who we shouldn't have picked up. Stick around. More Roto Experts in the Morning coming your way next. Experts of the Morning is live with you on a Monday. Coming up on the program today, a lot of baseball I want to get to here in hour number one, including Malik Smith, including Aaron Judge, and including that douche, Coda Glover.
That's all I thought about was you.
Bye-bye, Coda Glover.
Yeah. Scott, who traded him to me, has got a big smile ear to ear.
Scotty's loving that trade right now.
Big smile ear to ear. You can't
I'm smiling about the trade I just completed. I never like to see a guy get injured.
Right.
I'm not sure, like Corey.
You know. But you're not upset at the moment. This is the guy, whatever.
No, ultimately, though, I do, if it worked out for both of us, right now it's come down to, though, because I cut Andrew Triggs, who was in the trade already as well. Right now it's really like, retrospect, it's like Trout, and you already trade Victor Martinez, who was a throw-in. Yes. So it's become Trout for Benintendi and Pilar, which is what it really was in the first place.
What did you get for Victor Martinez?
We got Kelvin Herrera.
That's a hell of a trade. I have Victor Martinez in a couple of leagues, and I know Herrera's had his bumps this year.
Sure.
Yeah, but still, I couldn't believe you got that done, because like Benny Ricciardi is just like the most difficult person to trade with in the Greenwich Street Tavern League, and like a month and a half ago, it's like, if I wanted Herrera, I'd have to give up Justin Upton and somebody else.
But I will say, they did make a hell of a trade. They got Alex Wood and Carlos Martinez. Alex Wood should have stayed in that game to face Devin Mesoraco the other night. As soon as they changed pitchers, he hit the home run. I went to bed.
Yeah, you know, it was interesting. I'm going to talk about the BFFs, why they made the trade. I was shocked.
I just pulled up a trade during the break.
Would you like to tell us?
I traded with, of all people, Cardano sent me a trade offer yesterday when his team name is Beat Angle. I was a little stunned. But he was interested in buying low on Kyle Schwarber, and I needed some pitching, so I traded him Kyle Schwarber for Zach Wheeler.
Oh, that's interesting. That's interesting. That's an interesting trade.
Yeah.
I don't know if I like it for you. Very interesting.
Wheeler's pitched well this year.
Yeah, but at some point, they're going to shut him down.
Yeah, but, you know, that probably won't happen until, like, August or something. So between now and then, he'll be pretty useful for me.
All right.
You know, Schwarber hasn't done anything, really.
How much did Seth Lugo go for in the GST?
Seth Lugo.
Last week, I think. Did he pick up last
week? Last week, I thought. He went for $52 last week. $52
last week.
Yeah, I got
Sabathia for $39 last night.
Yep. I want to talk about Aaron Judge before we get into some of these free agent guys. Let's talk about Aaron Judge for a second. Mm-hmm. Buster Olney tweeted this morning. Aaron Judge on the year has 70 strikeouts. In the bats where he has not struck out, he is 72 for 139. Corey, if you do the math on that, he is batting .518 when he doesn't strike out.
Yeah.
You got to turn your mic on to contribute.
Yeah, no, thank you. If you like something to say, you stand up. Oh, no, and this is one of those strike out or hit a home run type guys, you know what I'm saying?
No, it's not. He's not.
You said he's batting what?
.518 when he doesn't strike out.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, to put
he's leading the league in average, he's leading the league in home runs, he's leading the league in RBIs.
But to take that even a step
That's
further.
Crazy.
I'll promote my tweet here. Aaron Judge only trails Mike Trout in OPS, ISO, and WRC+. I mean, he's first in WOBA by a point over Mike Trout with .478, which is amazing. He's got a .211 WRC+, so I mean that's pretty damn amazing.
What is WRC+?
Weighted runs created.
Okay.
In ISO, he's second, .373, and OPS .1166.
And I believe I read over the weekend that he surpassed Mike Trout in WAR as well, which is the first time someone's had passed Trout in WAR in like years,
forever. And the very interesting thing, like he gives a great statistical break on it down on it from the scouting perspective. Dave Winfield was talking to the New York Times last month. And was saying, you know, I was this, you know, big, tall, strong kind of hitter. Because in the history of baseball, there's never been a combination of a guy who is as tall and weighs as much as Aaron Judge. And Winfield said, you know, when you have a guy with that many moving parts, for them to him to hit with as much plate discipline as he does is absolutely amazing. Because you get a big strike zone, you know, and the like Winfield says, a lot of moving parts in your swing. I think that's the most impressive thing to me about Aaron Judge from a scouting perspective.
And how about this? Steamer for the rest of the season has Aaron Judge at .259 average.
Okay.
I mean, I don't think that's...
Do you agree with that?
At some point, I do believe this guy is going to go through a slump. I don't care how good he is. We've seen this time and time again. He's been amazing. I mean, I'm pretty much in first place in my AL only because I got him for $2. Right. I mean, him, Justin Smoke as well. I mean, Justin Smoke, I have to give him props. But, I mean, everything this guy is doing, like you said, he's beating Trout in WAR. He's on top of the leaderboard and everything. I believe in the American League, he's the Triple Crown.
Yes.
So, I mean, look,
wow.
This is a godsend. But I do have to believe, like, we see everybody do it and everybody go through it. He will. I mean, if you hit this is what they have rest of the season for him. 17 homers, 44 runs, 48 RBIs, 4 stolen bases, and a 259 average.
I think he could hit at least 270 the rest of the way.
I think he could do better.
259, I think he could do better than that.
Home runs aren't counted in, but he's got a 432 BABIP.
They almost make him sound like a sell high candidate in a way, though.
Yeah, no, they do. But also, yeah, this is a steamer. They're not going to. They don't predict the breakouts and stuff.
Yeah,
they're being more conservative. But they are pretty much the best in the business, in my opinion.
Sure. Aaron Judge is just on another level, obviously, right now. And it's just, I was watching MLB Tonight yesterday, and it was like, they're just saying he is must-watch TV. You cannot turn him off. And to get him for $2 in Fab, like, when we look back at the, you know, sleepers of the year, the best buys, like, I feel like we're going to forget just how unbelievable buy Aaron Judge was. I think we're going to forget that this guy went for nothing in the spring.
Free. Yeah, we're gonna have to get guys like Chris Owings and create our all value team, which Judge will be the captain of. And you know, did you guys mention that that yesterday was like his was like the best home run of the StatCast era?
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. It was the hardest hit. All of his home runs is the hardest hit home run of the StatCast era. Like, he's always breaking.
Well, Stanton hit one over the weekend though that was like, It was the hardest, it was the longest.
Yeah, it looked like Scott threw it to him. Scott was the pitcher.
What these guys are doing, and like I said about a month ago, like, the home run derby for once is going to be something you need to watch with Judge versus Stanton. Yeah. It's going to be ridiculous.
But I mean,
it's in Miami, right?
It's in Miami.
One of the guys who's just been utterly amazing as well is Ryan Zimmerman. I know he's got this. He's been out the last couple of days. Hopefully, it's nothing serious, because as a baseball fan, I've watched this guy, his career just be ravaged by injuries. And for what he's doing this season, is pretty damn impressive. And I mean, I'm a Mets fan, so it helps the Mets. But as a baseball fan, I want to see him healthy.
Yeah, Ryan Zimmerman just had a fantastic comeback year. So you feel good for a guy like Ryan Zimmerman. Now, besides Aaron Judge over the weekend, Malik Smith was a big story. I'll get to Malik Smith in a second, because that happened on Friday, and we're like, oh, this is cool. Like, Malik Smith replacing Kevin Kiermaier, and he ran wild, and that was awesome. But he wasn't the biggest prospect to be called up this weekend, obviously, because seemingly out of nowhere, Lewis Brinson was called up to Milwaukee. And I know we talk about on the Fantasy Best Friends Forever a lot about Lewis Brinson, and he has now arrived, and he made his debut yesterday for the Milwaukee Brewers. And I believe he went 0-for-2 with a couple of walks. And how important, Matt, is Lewis Brinson going to be to fantasy teams going forward?
Well, he's up here now, and I think he's going to get a good look. I mean, Keon Broxton, unfortunately, is really struggling.
Hit a home run yesterday.
He did hit a homer, but I mean, Domingo Santana has really solidified himself, and he's really looking like he's making that next step. While Brinson is still having these bumps in the road and these struggles. So, I mean, it's going to be an interesting outlook for the Brewers. I'm really curious to see what they do. Curious to see if Ryan Braun can get back on the field and stay healthy. The guy who's really benefiting is Hernan Perez, with Villar out and, you know, all the shuffle. So,
yeah, with Brinson's, like you alluded to, it's going to be interesting to see. Will he stay in the majors, or is this just his cup of coffee until Braun comes back? It really depends on how he hits here. Like, Santana is not going anywhere. It depends. Can Broxton, you know, get his game back into form? That's a consideration as well. If you listen to Roto Experts at the Park from last week, when I spoke to Tom Hartricourt of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, he made it sound like there wasn't a rush, you know, for really them to bring Brinson up, you know, talking about, you know, the arbitration clocks and everything like that. I fear that if you spent a lot of money on Fab on him, though, that this could only be a temporary call-up.
So I kind of disagree, because I think Brinson, who led off yesterday, obviously, for the Brewers, I think he's going to get every opportunity. And I'll tell you what, if until Ryan Braun comes back, if Lewis Brinson starts hitting, it's not going to be Brinson going back down to the minors. It's going to be Keon Broxton going back down.
That's the one good point, because they haven't been able to find a consistent leadoff hitter.
Exactly. They're going to give this kid every opportunity. I think you should, too, with your fantasy teams. We'll come back. We'll talk about another leadoff hitter in Malik Smith. We'll also talk about that D-bag, Coda Glover. We got a lot to go on. Baseball continues next here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. So over the weekend, it's funny because Malik Smith gets called up to obviously, essentially, replace Kevin Kiermaier for now. Kiermaier up for 2 months, jamming his hip, sliding into first base like an idiot. Nevertheless, Malik Smith gets called up. We talked about it a little bit on Friday. What do you do with Malik Smith? And, oh, you need steals, do this. If you need this, do that. And then he has a really, really good weekend. And one really good weekend made him the most expensive player to be bid on this week, pretty much across all leagues.
I mean, I was furious because, I mean, look, not that I was predicting the Kevin Kiermaier injury, but for the last couple of weeks, I've had him in my conditional. So I figured at some point this kid was going to come up. You know, maybe it was another month or so away. And I could have got up for like a buck or two with nothing, pretty much. And like as you saw this weekend in leagues, he went pretty much for the most part over 200, over 300 in a lot of instances as well. And the main reason is it's for the dire need of speed, the lack that's out there. It's like a non-existent commodity.
He has had 37 at-bats now on the year. He has 7 steals in those 37 at-bats. I mean, that's just incredible. He has 14 hits, 7 stolen base and 14 hits. That's every other time he gets on base, he runs.
And this is
like
a guy that's been back, you know, sent back to the minors each of the last 2 years, the last with Atlanta. And, you know, to your point, Matt, it's like before the season, everybody was saying, oh, you could get speed later on. Speed's up around across baseball. That was the narrative. And now we're finding that, especially in a 15-team league, it's not easy to come by because he went for over $300 in Tout Wars mixed as well. People are desperate for speed right now. You know, you can have no confidence that Malik Smith can keep it up as a hitter, and you just have to take him for the speed, period. You know, right now, you're spending a lot of money on what is essentially a one-quick category guy until he proves it otherwise. But he's going to have the opportunity. In my AL-only league, Delino DeShields was like a free agent, and you know people went crazy on him.
Yeah, I've seen Delino DeShields get a bid nice, too. He was dropped in a couple of my leagues as well. I put some small bids on him. I didn't get him in any. The highest bid I went on Malik Smith was 204. I lost that by over $100. The winning bid was 317.
Sure, so you weren't even close there. Eric Young Jr. is funny because we talked about him last week, and he was just not somebody I was interested in because we've seen Eric Young already. Like, we've seen this over and over, year after year. It wasn't something that excited me, and here he's been off to a very, very nice start since he's been getting called up.
He hits a 3-run homer the other night.
That is probably not what you get Eric Young for.
No, not at all, but it was just crazy to see.
All right, so there you go. You have your speed guys, your Eric Youngs, your Malik Smiths and whatnot. And then you might need a closer like Matt Albers because Cody Glover is an idiot and frustrating. Because Cody Glover got bombed last weekend, and this week comes out, pitches a nice ninth inning, no big deal. Doesn't pitch in 3 days, gets a call to the bullpen. Evidently, he tweaked his back in the shower, leaning over and getting some of his body wash. And he got his body washed and goes, oh, man, I tweaked something in my back. And instead of telling anybody about it, he was on a pitch and pitched quite terribly. And then he's like, oh, yeah, my back hurts. I screwed this up. And now he's on the disabled list. Of course, Sean Kelly comes in and he gets rocked. Blake's trying to get rocked. And then the only guy left standing is Matt Albers, who I assume will go back into the closer's role for the next week.
Yeah, this is the second time this year that Cody Glover's on the disabled list. So, you know, this may increase the urgency for the Nationals here. Like, for about a week and a half, 2 weeks, it looked like they had their guy because he was doing the job. But, you know, now he can't stay healthy. I think they have to go out and make a move there and acquire somebody. You know, as far as fantasy goes, you know, now you have to replace him yet again. And Albers is the only one. You know, you can't trust Kelly. You know, he gets hurt. You know, all these other guys have shown that they can't do the job, and the Nationals intend on contending and winning this division and getting to the playoffs. So I think a move is coming, but Albers, look, at least pick him up temporarily and get what you can get.
Well, Greg, you were 100% right. You said you wanted no part of this situation in Washington. You pretty much railed on that. You said, I don't want to be involved.
Correct.
I don't want nothing. But it's tough when you see the guy have the opportunity. I went in on Glover. I know in one of our leagues where we're among the top on the leaderboard, me and Vlad in the RotoWire yep. Online Challenge, we dropped Brandon Maurer like last month to pick up Cody Glover. And I was telling him, I was like, you know what? I was totally behind that move. And I was like, we should have just stuck with Brandon Maurer at that point. But the other thing, too, is the Nationals have the luxury of being in the National League East. That's something people need to understand. It's they will make a move. They don't have to run out tomorrow, get somebody. Tony Cicada pointed out earlier this morning, why has Matt Albers been so successful this season? He's really ramped up that slider usage, and you know he's become a one-pitch pitcher, and it's been very effective. And, hey, great. Can Matt Albers continue to succeed? I'm not so sure about that. He's not a guy that they're going to go forward with as their savior. And there's many guys that are, you know, I would like to see them go after Colome, or even if Herrera, I know he's had the, you know, bumps in the road, as you mentioned before, Herrera. You know, they probably need two arms. In all being honest, they're going to need somebody to help with that bridge, and they're going to need somebody who can lock down games.
100%. And you mentioned Herrera. There's other guys as well, like Colome, of course. And
yeah.
They're going to make a trade. And you always talk, Matt, how make it sooner than later. Just make it sooner than later, and you get the guy for a longer period of time, and maybe you'll get a better deal. Who knows? And this is a team you can tell Dusty Baker's frustrated by it. You can tell Mike Rizzo is frustrated about it by it. And this team, I'm sure Max Scherzer is extremely frustrated by it because he got cost a win yesterday.
Oh, Max Scherzer got robbed. He should have struck out Jurison Profar. I don't know if the count was. I think it was 2-2, and he even said he was just frazzled. He couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it either, watching at home. But he got robbed out of that because that inning should have never turned out the way it did.
Correct. Nevertheless, it did, and the bullpen blew another win for Max Scherzer, and they're pissed. And I get it. They're going to make a trade, and it's coming soon because they're not going to rely on the Cody Glovers and the Matt Albers and the Sean Kellys and the Blake Trinans. It's not going to happen. You're going to make a trade. It's going to be soon. Hopefully, it's. You know, it's your guy, and if not, you can get the guy, whoever gets traded away, you get the setup guy. If it's David Robertson, you have somebody out there. So,
I felt like Glover could be the guy, but, you know, he just...
Not now.
He can't stay healthy. Two trips to the DL. You know, I was happy to have him when I traded him to you, I went, okay. You know, you said to me either Jim Johnson or Cody Glover,
yep.
And I said, I think Johnson has a little bit of shot to hold on the job for longer because you hear all these trade rumors about Washington, and then he ends up hurt.
That's
but
right.
Then you would be able to turn around and get Kelvin Herrera, which I thought you put to pull off a really good trade.
I hope so. And I was hoping all three would have been really cool to have. But nevertheless, it's funny because Washington is desperate for a closer, and yet Pittsburgh has a closer that came from Washington. Now, in the Mark Melanson trade last year, one of the names that went from Washington to Pittsburgh was Felipe Rivero. 2 days into being the closer, two saves for Felipe Rivero. Of course, on Friday, all we heard was Clint Hurdle being like, yeah, we like Rivero in the eighth, but we're probably going to give Juan Acasio a shot in the ninth. Who did Greg pick up? Juan Acasio. Who has zero saves over the last 3 days? Juan Acasio.
I still think Acasio will be involved. I don't think they're just going to they're going to manage this kid well, too.
Yeah, and plus the fact that he's a left-hander, too. You know, they might want to decide, okay, you know, what situation do we want to use the lefty? What situation we want to use the righty? A lot of times you won't see lefty closers because there's not a lot of lefties in bullpens to use. But now that Watson can go back into a setup role where he was originally very effective, you know, they might have that luxury as well.
You look at Felipe Rivera and Juan Acasio, both were worth pickups. Now, how much did Juan Acasio go for in some of your leagues here, Matt?
He went for, in one league, he went for $14.
Wow, okay.
That was a satellite. He was taken in a couple of leagues last week, believe it or not. So I'm trying to look and see.
For us, in the GST, he went for $77.
And that was by Tony, I believe, right?
That was by Tony Cicada.
Tony said, yeah, look, I mean, I like this guy's skills. I've liked it since before the season started. And look, I don't think he's going to be a Pirate for much longer, neither. I think there's going to be a team that needs to, you know, that fortify that seventh, eighth inning. Nicasio's done nothing but prove he's pretty damn good. So, look, I would even trade Rivero if given the right prospect back in return. Look, the kid has done nothing but, you know, flash some dominance out there. I mean, since the last, I think since May 1st, he's averaging 99 miles an hour. He's hit 101, 102. So.
Yeah, he went for $45 in tout mixed.
Okay, so that's pretty interesting, $45.
Yeah, usually closers go for like well over $200, too, in you know, tout mixed.
So that's the Felipe Rivera. Now, we picked up in GSC, heard it on Sakata and Angle. We picked up Jose Perello because we needed a middle infielder because Jonathan Villar, after trading away Broxton, we think, okay, we got Villar. He'll turn it around. He'll run a little bit. And Villar had a nasty injury that I was hoping would kind of be Gregory Polanco, like, oh, no big deal, like, whatever. And now Villar is on the 10-day DL with a, quote, lower back strain. Hopefully, it's not serious, but Eric Sogar is going to start. Now we know he's going to start every day at second base for this team. We'll see what how quickly VR can get back from that lower back strain.
Yeah, this was an interesting week in Fab. I mean, guys like Buck Farmer, who I actually wanted to pick up in some leagues and couldn't get. Guys like Alex Meyer. It was like a bunch of, like, you know, guys that we have been written off. That
Tim Adelman, you know, guys like that. But with the point with VR, like, he actually got taken off on a cart. You know, you don't know when he's going to come back. But Sogard, who's got off to a very hot start, has really cooled off lately. You know, maybe
saw coming.
Yeah, maybe they use your guys Perez more in the infield if he continues to be called.
Yeah, Hernan Perez.
I think it's all about Hernan Perez. I mean, look, what Eric Sogard did for this mini run was quite impressive.
Great.
I mean, he got on base.
I mean, he's no Scooter Jeanette, but whatever. You know, Hernan Perez, couple of home runs this week, still on base. So he is quite hot at the moment. We come back, we're going to actually talk about the New York Metropolitans. You didn't get one guy back. They didn't get two guys back. They got three guys back this week. We'll talk about them all. And also, while Joey Votto should be the NL MVP, we'll continue the conversation. Baseball, Roto Experts in the Morning, here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Up and Adam Roto Experts in the Morning. It's a little bit slowing down a little bit. Scott got the air guitar rocking, playing slow jams on the air guitar this morning. King Scott Angle.
Slow jams, huh? Mm-hmm. All right, good, that's it.
Scott got all kind of genres air guitar. Oh, damn.
and different types of guitars, too.
Oh, of course.
What, is that a bass? What is that you're playing right now?
This is just like standard electric.
Standard, you know, electric, yeah. Guitar. Yeah.
I like that. I think that this actually might be an Ibanez. No, not a Gibson.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Did you guys happen to see that tweet yesterday from Panthers camp of Jonathan Stewart and Luke Kuechly? They were dancing. They were doing like this stuff.
No, I did not see that.
I was thinking of Scotty Love.
Scotty Love is the dance machine.
He is. He's a dance machine that, you know,
speaking of dancing, yo, I seen one of the greatest things in the history of the internet on Friday. I was watching Best Friends Forever, stream.
Yeah,
that's you. And yo, they was playing some song, and you know how Frank do. You know, Frank is like Scotty Love. He like to get down. But it was just interesting to see Frank to see him catch the beat. Like, he was snapping his fingers, but he had to catch the beat, and he was like, and then he started jamming. I was like, look at Frank go.
He was like catching beat running like Randy Moss.
Yeah, I was like, look at Frank. Yeah, he's like, you know, he's on.
Caught it in stride.
Yeah, he caught it in stride. Yeah, how about that?
So
is that a thing, Scott? Like, are you and Frank are from the same area of Queens? Is that like?
Where does the dancing come from? I'm not originally from the same area as Queens, though, as Frank. You know, he's from Ridgewood. I came up in Flushing and Bayside. I live closer to him now, so we didn't come from the same spot.
That's interesting. Does that answer your question, Corey?
But I actually went to two colleges, though, where there was, like, a lot of dancing going on, where I kind of got my thing on.
Okay, know, that's where you started at?
Colleges. Like, yeah. I went to community college at LaGuardia, and they had, like, a lot of dance nights. Like,
okay.
You know, like, freestyle, like, those things back in the day, like, you know, like, Silent Morning and Noel, and, you know, like.
But you always had you always had the groove in you, though. Like, you didn't have to learn.
I picked it up, and then in college, they used to have reggae parties when I went to LIU. And
those
were cool.
I'm trying to picture Scotty Love with a little Jufro going.
That's the sound of Rastaman. The man working on the chain, guy.
Oh, love it. Scotty loves the trailer load of girls.
I'm so proud.
Yo, speaking of which,
yeah, you got a trailer full of girls?
No, I don't have a trailer load full of girls.
Got a pocket full of shells.
Those days are over. Your jam, Despacito.
Yes.
It's a remix to it.
Already?
With Charlie Black on it.
Oh, that sounds pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta check that out.
Yeah. He was on the radio yesterday.
I thought
about you.
I appreciate it. It's a good song. Mm-hmm. Right?
It's a jam.
Yeah, it's a jam. It's a nice summer
jam.
Nice
groove to it.
I got a quick question for you, Greg. Sure. Is it this weekend's weather, is that too hot for spike ball? Or
no, I played.
It's fine. It's perfect spike ball weather.
It was. I was in Long Island. I told you, my aunt and uncles. They have in the backyard, so we played spike ball for a couple hours, like in the morning, like 10 to noon.
Okay.
And the rest of the day, we were in the pool, you know, refreshing.
Oh, okay. That's nice. So they have a spike ball. They bought a thing. They bought like the actual thing, and they have it in their crib. Or did you have to go pick it up?
No. They bought the thing. They have in their crib.
Oh, okay. So they keep one handy.
Yeah, I mean it's a fun game. I recommend.
Well, who plays when you're not there?
My friends all play.
Oh, okay.
You think I'm the only person in the world that plays this game?
As seen on Shark Tank.
It wasn't like some weird thing.
Yeah, I do Shark Tank again soon. That's fun.
Shark Tank's a fun game. We're going to do plenty of Shark Tank when it comes. As we get into draft season, of course, Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package available Wednesday. Coming up in just a bit, we are going to go over an article my man Mike Florio, the Fantasy Best Friends Forever, wrote. So we'll be going over that in just a little bit. Oh, yeah, too late.
Okay. I was giving you an opportunity to tease it.
I'm going to tease it. We're talking about best ball strategies today.
Okay, I like that.
I know you and I actually have been helping Mike Florio, giving him some ideas for this.
Yeah.
So you're crowdsourcing a little bit. So talk a little best ball strategy, which is cool. I know you like playing some best ball leagues. Matt likes playing best ball leagues.
I got one going right now.
There you go. MFL 10 is a very, very popular form of game at this moment.
That people can't play in
New York. This week we're going to have Jeff Stein of My Fantasy League on the Fantasy Hall of Fame Hour.
Nice.
To talk about the history of My Fantasy League and why and how MFL 10s became so popular.
I tell you what, it's funny you mention that because I started to wear the, I had pulled out the T-shirt today, but I was like, it kind of gained a little bit of weight, so it kind of rolled up on me a little bit. But I really think it was something. You know who was the master of the best balls and really got a lot of people playing best ball and really got a lot of people in this industry was Jim Day. And I haven't seen or heard from Jim Day in a while. I definitely hope that Fantasy Taz is feeling well out
Me
there.
Too,
you know
man.
What I'm saying? Because Fantasy Taz is like the guy who really created the MFL 10. So shout
good,
out to
good,
Taz.
Good guy too. I've had a lot of laughs with him.
He's one of the best
years.
People in the industry, fan. Jim Day, Fantasy Taz.
And if I could also promote the NFFC, they have 25s and 50s as well. So many different platforms.
You can play that, right? NFFC 25.
I'm in round 22 of one right now.
There you go.
I'm about to pick Curtis Samuel, wide receiver of the Carolina
Panthers. Nice, I like it.
Spoiler alert. so we'll get to that. We'll get into best ball. That's coming up just a little bit. Before we do, I do want to kind of wrap up the baseball conversation just a bit here. And that's actually talking about the Mets. I know with Dr. A, we talk about the Mets every damn week. And now we don't have to because the guys are actually coming back. Seth Lugo, Steven Matz, who we've waited legitimately since March to come back, came back within 2 days of each other here this weekend, one Saturday night, one Sunday afternoon. And Scotty, they both pitched phenomenally.
Yeah, you know, Matz, you know what he is when he's healthy. He pitches really, really well. He's probably the craftiest of all those, you know, named Mets starters that they have. And then Lugo, you know, who pitched really well in the World Baseball Classic, came back and pitched yesterday. It's going to be interesting. Who do they send to the bullpen here? Because, you know, Lugo pitched really good. We talked about Wheeler being on an innings count, but, you know, they're not going to send him to the bullpen right now when he's been their second-best pitcher all year. Harvey's pitching respectably right now. You know, and they got Cespedes back over the weekend, and he had a grand slam in his first game back. But he said he can't run at 100%, and you could see coming around the bases that he wasn't 100%. So I don't know if it was good to bring Cespedes back as early as they did, but with the pitching, it's now all of a sudden a good problem to have. You know, Syndergaard's not there, but you have DeGrom who's pitching tonight. Pivotal start for him. You have Harvey who's pitched pretty well. You got Wheeler. And then you got Matt and Lugo. What was that, five right there, Matt?
Well, you got Gesellman as Gesellman well. Gesellman, too. Pitched much so better since coming out of the bullpen.
So Gesellman or Lugo's got to head to the bullpen. One of them has to.
Well, I think they said, because I forget what, I think last week I saw it. I don't know if it was Anthony DeComo. One of the beat writers said.
I don't think they have a day off this week.
Yeah, they have like 18, have like an 18-game stretch over the next couple of weeks. So they were gonna go with the six-man rotation, which I think right now might be the way to go. You could extend Wheeler a little longer. I mean, Wheeler, honestly, I've been saying DeGrom's been their best pitcher. And DeGrom, besides his last two starts, whatever it is, he's just got totally lit up.
Disaster.
He does have really good peripherals, and if you do the deep dive. But Zach Wheeler, and I'm a little guilty of this, I kind of sat him in a lot of places like Texas and some other starts.
Sure.
And the guy's just got it done time and time again, and it's really good to see. You know, that's one of the highlights of the Mets season. The thing real quick on Cespedes, I mean, it was great to see him at that Grand Slam. And we Met fans needed that. But I said when they activated him, I don't think he can run out of double, which obviously he can't right now.
No.
And if they're going to keep, if he's going to stay activated, he should not be playing the field. He should just be a pinch hitter.
But like, I said they brought Cespedes back too early. I'm a regular saying
yeah,
that.
Yeah, no, no.
The two positive things, though, you got to take from it is Harvey's pitch respectively. The guy's coming back to thoracic outlet syndrome. But the real positive is Wheeler coming back from this Tommy John the way that he's pitched.
But isn't this the most absurd thing ever, Corey? The most Met thing ever?
Yeah.
They bring back a guy who says, listen, I'm not 100%. I can't run at full speed. Yeah. And you watch him get a hit. You watch him run out of the box. He can't go past first base. Unless he's jockeying for a home run, right? Like,
yeah.
He can't do it. And even he said, I'm not ready. And the Mets bring him back anyway. They start with left field.
You're going to have to be ready. Hit the ball, and then we'll figure it out after that.
It's like
pinch runner.
So maddening, because that Thursday afternoon when he first really injured the hamstring, when he was supposed to go on the DL before that, and they already sat him for like 5 days or maybe more, but they wanted him to be ready for that Nationals game. It was so important for them back then. If he would have just went on the DL back then, all this could have been avoided.
We heard Dr. A saying they brought him back
yeah,
too
no,
early.
And like,
I don't need Dr. A to tell me that. You look like a guy who can't move. He can't run.
No, but Dr. A said the guy needs to sit for another 2 weeks.
Yeah, this is just, as you say, classic
they
Mets.
Hire Dr. A.
They really should. But as Greg pointed out, it's a classic Mets move.
So stupid.
It's a classic desperation move.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's, I don't know.
I could be Dr. A's headhunter.
People's heads got a role, in my opinion.
People's heads, it's like, bringing back Yoenis Cespedes when he himself admits he cannot run at full speed is unacceptable.
He was shut down a week ago.
We've heard from Dr. A that, like, you said, okay, Should we blame the Mets medical staff for this? And he said, no. The Mets medical staff gives the Mets the information, then the Mets make the decision about whether to activate or disable a player.
Fine. So fire Sandy Alderson. Yeah. That's fine.
Yeah, I think they need a nice cleaning out. And look, they've overachieved in certain instances the last couple of seasons. I will not. But all this nonsense that has gone on, clear house, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's remarkable, man. It's remarkable to me. I know, Scotty, just a moment ago trying to figure out where to fit all six starters in to a five-man rotation. Let's not worry about that. That'll work itself out as it tends to.
Though the only good thing about keeping Terry Collins around is Scott does do an excellent Terry Collins impersonation.
He does. It's one of his best.
You better goddamn, you know, be careful about that. I'm going to keep you around here in the goddamn Roto Experts in the goddamn morning.
Yeah, and now, of course, Terry...
Your language, Scott, is disgusting. I just want you to know.
We have
that.
A little girl.
The Golden State Warriors hat is disgusting. The goddamn Knicks fan.
He's actually wearing a Yankee hat today.
Yeah,
it was he wearing the other day. Don't you correct me. The goddamn boat shoes. Sit it on.
They're very comfortable. I recommend them, Terry.
Of course, when you're a sissy boy, listen to Bieber.
It's not nice.
We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up the baseball conversation when we return. We're going to the morning to on after this. Couple of minutes left here. hour number one, wrapping up the baseball talk. When we come back on the other side to start the hour, we're going to take a look at Mike Florio's best ball strategies, which I think will be a really interesting conversation. Also coming up here in hour number two, it's not that I have a conversation with the just two of them, but just... I don't know what they're doing.
No, he's showing me. He's showing me his guitar strumming.
Scott's getting the lead out.
See, this is different. This is Led Zeppelin, and Jimmy Page used to play a double neck guitar, and sometimes instead of actually using his fingers, he would use a bow.
Okay.
Play the guitar. That's how talented Jimmy Page was.
Okay, very good.
So to start off hour number two, we're going to be talking the best ball strategies. Also coming up in hour number two, we're playing Name That Player. And I'll name that player.
Oh, that's fun.
That we're gonna try to see who could be our champion for that today. We have a lot of guys. We'll play the game.
I think the last time we played that, I won, right?
I would imagine so. Yeah. So, we'll get into that. We'll also discuss, of course, the players that are in Name That Player, and we'll see what everybody thinks of those and some of the guys surrounding it, and we'll compare and contrast them. So, it's going to be a really, really fun hour number two here. But to wrap up the baseball conversation, I've kind of alluded to it. Jonathan Villar has those back spasms. I hope he's back soon. What are you hearing, thinking, seeing, Matt Bodine, on Jonathan Villar?
You know, it's a little scary. The back is never a good thing, especially for someone that likes to run, who's pretty much his game is predicated on running. So I don't think they're going to rush him. Hopefully they take their time. And, you know, maybe it's later this month, beginning of July, even if it's, you know, post All-Star break. I don't know the full diagnosis yet, but when you got a guy like Hernan Perez on your team, there's really no reason to rush him back. And that guy gets the at-bats. And I guess the Brewers are one of the most interesting teams. I even got a guy like Josh Hader in a couple of leagues. He was called up this week. Look, he's been pitching at Colorado Springs for them, and he's been getting hammered this year and last year. But this dude has a real live arm, and I think at some point he's going to get an opportunity to make some starts. So he's a guy to put on your watch list in, like, you know, 12-teamers and stuff like that.
Absolutely, no question about it. And he's someone that, like I said, that was the reason I picked up Malik Smith, given the loss of Jonathan Villar.
Well, I think what you did this weekend was kind of excellent. You said you got Miguel Cabrera for Billy Hamilton.
Yeah, straight up.
Which I understand. Like, people hear that, like, oh my God, this league. You know, you got to understand that at certain points of the season, you're trading, like, the person that's going after Billy Hamilton is trading for that category.
Correct.
He's getting the uber elite guy. Mm-hmm. And you're getting a guy who's at some point just going to blow up and go off. So that was well done. And then you went out. It cost you $224.
Yeah.
But you got another speed guy.
Theoretically, yeah. That was a plan. We went out and got traded a closer as well. So, you know, I was looking at our team this morning. I was like, this team's really good. If I can get Mike Trout back and...
You feel good about
he's Mike Trout.
Go.
If he comes back early,
you have Mike Trout and Mookie Betts and Miguel Cabrera.
Yeah, I feel really good if these guys can stay healthy.
Yeah.
And
so, bottom line, you guys are trying to survive till you get to the Hawks. As long as you just be competitive, be in the mix.
Yeah, I think you sometimes you have to take, you know, sometimes short term angles
because
you can build up your categories, etc. And, you know, like we were talking about last week, you know, you're so far ahead in steals right now.
Yeah.
You know, it made sense for you. That's what I'm going to try to do in my AL-only league this week. I am so far ahead in some of the pitching categories, I need to pick up some steals and some saves. So I'm going to try to deal Chris Sale or Yu Darvish.
I mean, let's be honest. We're 40 points back right now of first place. I mean, the first place team is 126 points. It's a lot of points.
Whoa, who's in first place?
Florio.
Florio Galina and Cha-Cha.
They are.
I told them, I said, hold on to your pitch and build it up for a little
while. It's really impressive, and we've lost a couple. I know Tony's really risen over the last week or two. But we're struggling to survive, and then hopefully we can make this late push. I mean, it's a lot of points, but a lot of stuff can happen here. A lot of things can happen. When we return, speaking of a man, Michael Florio, he has a best ball article inside the Exclusive Edge package, which will be available Wednesday. We, here on the Roto Experts in the Morning, will break that down when we come back. Roto Experts in the Morning begins hour number two next.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire. Smoke. Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning.
starts now.
Hour number two on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network's Roto Experts in the Morning is live here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Fantasy Executive is here. Scott the King Angle is here as well. Of course, Matty Modica, CTM Baseball, hanging out with you. Now, inside the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package, which is available this Wednesday, you get so much fantastic content, including a piece that I know my man Mike Florio has been working on for a very, very long time, and I'm excited to get into it right now, and that is Best Ball Strategies. You know, we add a lot of cool new stuff to the Exclusive Edge Package year after year, and I think this one, this is brand new, right, Scotty?
This is not brand new, but this is the first time Mike Florio.
It's the first time Florio's writing it. Yeah, because I talked to him about it, and he was really excited to write this because this is not something that's super popular all over the internet. Because there's a million. Listen, we get it. There's a million places you can read your fantasy football for advice and research, but we take pride in our Exclusive Edge Package. I know Mike Florio takes quite a bit of pride. And he went very deep, and he asked everybody at this table for their advice when it came to best ball, what they do differently, and he kind of encompassed it all in a fantastic 2,000-word article to truly break it down and explain it to you. So, Corey, I know you're a big MFL 10 guy. You can't play it. Play it in New York this year, as of now. But the MFL 10s, why do you believe they're so popular?
Oh, it's a mock draft. People love the draft. So anytime people get a chance to draft, especially for something that's $10 like that, you get it right to your phone, you know, on your phone, and you know, the slow draft format, it really helps get people in the mood of drafting, helps you learn the draft board and get the player pool in your head and stuff like that. So it's one of the best and easiest ways to go about getting ready for the fantasy football season.
Scotty, you know, I look at best ball, and I'm somebody that, in total truth and in total transparency, I've never played it, right? Like, I've never done the best ball. You guys talk about it all the time. Drafting, you know, you're drafting back in March, you're doing best ball, and Matt, you're in May making best ball leagues. And to me, Scotty, the coolest thing was, like, you're drafting, and you don't have to worry about anything, right? You're drafting, and you move on with your life, basically, which I think is very, very cool.
It is, and, you know, Corey actually starts at, like, I think February 1st, like, you know, the day after the Super Bowl is done, even before we know who the rookies are going. And, but the cool thing about it is, you know, everybody loves the draft. And this gives you an opportunity to have a lot of drafts and not overwhelm yourself with regular season work. So many of us will be like, man, I can't take on too many leagues. I had 18 last year and I'm cutting down to 12. A lot of us that do this, like intense. And, you know, people, fantasy analysts will say that, but you know, then, you know, you can do 70 best ball drafts and then just manage 10 teams and that's it.
Yeah, the best ball format, I'm a big fan of. The one major difference, I will say, you really can't wait on quarterbacks like you do in a regular, say, 16 or 20 round draft. And I mean, I just saw it in my most recent one. End of the 7th round, I had to take Tyrod Taylor. It was like him, Andy Dalton, Carson Palmer. These are the quarterbacks that are left.
See, I don't. A lot of times, especially MFL 10s, but I didn't do them to win them. I did it as a mock draft, so I kind of ignored the quarterback like I would do with a regular redraft. But I think if you're trying to win them, you got to go current hot and hurly heavy. For the quarterbacks, maybe pull the trigger a little quicker than you would in a normal league.
When we come back, we're going to take a look at Mike Florio's article, and we're going to talk about some of the major differences between best ball format and MFL 10 and, you know, our normal standard 12-team draft, which we'll all be doing come August. So stick around. We'll break down the best ball format and Mike Florio's Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football article when we return here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. This is J-Lo.
Oh, okay. This sounds like the baseball song.
I feel like we need some glow stick here for Scotty Lowe.
This is J-Lo. It's called Get on the Floor.
All right, cool. Nice little dance jam from Jennifer Lopez.
So, the best ball format here.
All right.
I want to ask you, Corey. Mike Florio's first big advice here is to take more chance. Let's start with Matt. Right, Matt said you got to go draft more quarterbacks because in the best ball format, for those don't realize, you know, we all sit here. A lot of people don't play best ball. The best ball format is you draft the team and you are done. You don't put people in every week. You don't make pickups. You don't make trades. None of that exists. You draft and then the highest, you know, your highest lineup.
High scoring guys at every position get the credit.
Yes, your highest lineup each week is your score for that week. Of course, highest score at the end of the year.
The best case scenario.
Your highest score at the end of the year wins. And that's it. There's no other rules, no other regulations. That is it. So because of that, Matt has just mentioned quarterbacks go early because, yes, you want to quote all quarterbacks, you wait on quarterback, blah, 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 blah. Problem is, if you lose a quarterback, you're losing that guaranteed 20-plus points a week. You can't handle that in a basketball because you can't just go pick up another quarterback. That is why quarterbacks go a bit earlier, correct?
That is correct. And like in this draft champions I'm doing right now, this best ball format, through the first 7 rounds, 5 of the 12 teams had multiple quarterbacks. So, you know, people are going to be aggressive with that. So that is a different approach. And like Greg says, it's basically trying to build the best team you can as well around those parameters and having depth, because you are going to need depth, as we know, because you can't pick up guys. There's no pickups. And I actually love the format. I think it's fun. You don't have to worry about, do I play Winston this week? Do I play Kirk Cousins? You know, whoever does better gets the credit for that.
Let me ask you this. I know some people that actually do this. They do nothing but best ball, nothing but draft champion, nothing but draft and go. And come Sunday morning, they play a little DFS, and that's it.
I mean, yeah. Did
you do that?
I would like to do that.
I can't do that. I need a 12-team redraft. Yeah,
no. But see, like the prime time, I do love it. Like I said, one of the things that's really, over the past couple of seasons, why I've really gotten back into fantasy football in a big way, is I've found that you can do deep dives with a lot of great stats. That was one of the things that appeals to me with fantasy baseball. So, and you know, that's something that if you go, you look for it, there are stats out there. There are people putting out great things. So.
Pro Football Focus.
Yeah.
Another guy who does a great job of that, who like even preceded Pro Football Focus, was Casey Joyner over at ESPN, the football scientist. You know, he does a great job.
By the way, Odell Beckham is back. He's reported to the Giants and take a physical, whatever. Continuing the basketball conversation, so Florio then says the next major difference for him when it comes to drafting, Scotty, is that he can take more chances. Like, we've sat around this table a bunch, and we've mentioned the Tyreek Hills of the world, ultimately the Deshaun Jacksons of the world, the Ted Ginns, the Martavis Bryants, the Taylor Gabriels, all these guys that score points, but we can never predict when. Best ball allows you to take these guys, perhaps, Scotty, a bit earlier because you don't have to predict when they're going to go off. Because no matter what, technically they will be in your lineup when they do.
Yeah, when you're doing regular seasonal fantasy football, it's about consistency. You try to get the most consistent performers. And guys like Tyreek Hill scare the crap out of you because they can blow up 1 week. And then maybe the next week they get held down, especially when he's going to be asked to play an expanded role this year and be the number one wide receiver. Now, Brandon Cooks, I think in seasonal leagues, I think he's kind of overrated. People look at him going to the defending champions, etc. But you know, everybody plays a certain role in New England, and what they've missed is the downfield threat. When they still want to move the chains, when Gronk is there, when Edelman is there, that's who they're going to be going to first and foremost. You look at a guy like, if he stays healthy, like C.J. Prosize, who can score from anywhere on the field, there's going to be consistency with him, inconsistency with him too. But I think he's going to have some big weeks. So these are the kind of guys that, you know, that more interest me in best ball because, you know, there's not the consistency, but I think the overall points might look good.
I disagree with you on Brandon Cooks, but I do think Scott makes some good points otherwise. Also, other players, everybody knows about the Deshaun Jackson, the real big boom type wide receivers, the guys that every now and then a couple times a season to go for, you know, they'll give you 6 for 220 and right. 2 touchdowns. We get that, you know what I'm saying? But also these PPR running backs that are very inconsistent, when you look at the stats at the end of the year, and you're like, oh my God, he had 50 catches. Well, he had 11 of those in one game. The Duke Johnsons, the Danny Woodheads. Well, Danny Woodhead is a little bit more consistent than that and will be this year. But guys like Duke Johnson, guys like Lance Dunbar, that every now and then, once a season, have these 10, 12 catch games, those are guys that are also good for best ball. Now, Scott, as far as your thing with Brandon Cooks is, I don't see, like, when you talk about, like, do like, a guy like DeAndre Hopkins, you take Hopkins over Cooks?
Yeah, definitely. Because I feel like they
I don't get that.
Because Brock Osweiler was like, when you look at quarterbacks like Brandon Whedon and Brian Hoyer, they threw the back shoulder fade even better than he did. This guy was fundamentally so poor. All you have to have is even a decent journeyman quarterback, and Hopkins is going to put up the numbers. And back to the point.
But he had that last year, Scott.
With who? With
Brock Osweiler.
Hold on.
Osweiler couldn't even throw a back shoulder fade properly. Cooks. The guy was totally inaccurate.
Okay, but Cooks had almost 1,200 yards with like 78 catches. That was
in New Orleans, though. New Orleans.
Okay, but I still think he's going to. How many catches do you think he's going to get?
New Orleans is different. It's like, I'm not saying I hate Brandon Cooks. What I'm saying is I think consistency is going to be an issue with him because the Patriots tend to be very game plan specific, and I don't think they're ever going to go away from that because that was what has won them championships. There's going to be games where Brandon Cooks is going to blow up, but then there's going to be other games where he's like 3 for 33.
I don't think that happens.
4 for 37.
Cooks. I don't see those kind of stat lines.
You know,
Cooks.
You have Gronkowski there. You got Edelman. They're going to run the ball sometimes.
Edelman's going to be hurt. Gronkowski's going to be hurt.
Mm-hmm. Not all season. So they're not going to miss 16 games.
Brandon Cooks will play 16 games.
So ultimately, as I've said with Brandon Cooks in the past, I think his value is the same as it was last year. I think the Saints put up 50 points and he had one catch for 30 yards.
Exactly.
He had no catches. That's going to happen, right? But
exactly.
But I'll give you the numbers. 78 for 11, 73, and 8. That's also going to happen.
I love it for best ball. And then there are other guys like, look at Roethlisberger. We talk about the home road splits.
Sure.
And then the numbers are so good. Best ball guy.
Sure.
I think Jay Ajayi is going to be more consistent this year. But if he's not, look at the final numbers. Best ball.
Here's one thing to consider about Ben Roethlisberger, especially in best ball, as Scott just pointed out. If Martavis Bryant continues this path and gets reinstated, and they have Bryant, Bell, and Brown, I mean, I think Ben's going to be a hell of a quarterback, whether road or home. If he could have those three guys there,
just healthy and
in the lineup, I mean, that's why the best. Well, I was hoping he would come to me, you know. And like I said, in this league, like Corey mentioned, a guy like DeSean Jackson. My 5-6 turn was Danny Woodhead and DeSean Jackson, and in the best ball, I love it. I love Danny Woodhead in a regular straight PPR league. But in a best ball, Woodhead and Jackson, I'm ecstatic.
Now, some of the other strategic points that Florio brings up here. Defenses, right? We always take defenses at the end of the draft. Literally the last round of the draft in a standard 12-team league. We tend to take defense. Don't reach on the Seahawks or stuff like that because, you know, who knows if the Seahawks are always that dominant defense. Obviously proven last year, like, okay, they're not nearly as good as we thought we were on draft day. So you never want to take a defense even as dominant as they may look so early. In best ball, that's a little bit different, right?
You want to take three defenses, be honest with you.
Okay.
I learned that trick when I first started playing the higher stakes best ball formats. And it really does make – every point matters. It really does. I mean, you might say, nah. Even a bad defense as your third defense, it's worth having. Because even bad defenses will have good weeks. You know, maybe it's special teams that goes off or some interceptions. But I do recommend paying up a little on defense for that first in a best ball and ending up with three.
It's very hard to predict defenses from year to year. So rather than go high, but I like the idea of taking three because you can't predict return touchdowns. You can't predict interceptions and fumble returns for touchdowns, and you can't predict fumbles and interceptions. What the most predictable is sacks and points allowed, it seems. And when you have three, you're just going to get the best one every week or whoever might
also
blow up randomly.
If you're doing best ball and has a kicker position, you want to get your kickers early. You want to get the top kickers. You want to get two of the top kickers because a lot of kickers are going to get cut.
That's a good point.
A lot of kickers are going to get cut as we get closer to training camp, once we get in training camp, and you don't want to not have a kicker on your team. So try to get the Gronkowskis and the Matt Bryants and the Hauschkas and those guys like that. Yeah, Justin Tucker. You want to get those guys in best ball leagues.
Take a break. We'll come back. One last point in best ball. We'll get to name that player here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. We've mentioned the defenses, the quarterbacks. We've mentioned some of the inconsistent players that it makes sense to draft in best ball. And Florida does a tremendous job going into this in great detail. You have to, for the full article, check out the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football package available on Wednesday. Special price when you put in free radio. And we'll have a big celebration on Wednesday for this. But there's one more part of the article I want to get to before we play name that player. And that is when it comes to handcuffs. Now, when you're in a 12-team league, you go out, you get your handcuff. You can get your handcuff. You could not. If you maybe get the wrong guy, you can always just pick some guy up later. Spend some money of your fab and go out and get your guy. In best ball, you don't have the opportunity to do that. So listen, if your first round pick is Le'Veon Bell, you better be sure as hell that you're getting James Conner and Fitzgerald Toussaint with you. Fitzgerald Toussaint with you. Right? Like, you better make sure, because you don't have the ability to pick any of these guys up. Handcuffs are extremely, Scott, important in best ball formats.
Yeah, and when you talk about a guy like Le'Veon Bell, we have seen some injuries, and you want to know who that handcuff is. Although sometimes, like we talked with Indianapolis this morning, you know, and not that you're necessarily going to go to Indianapolis for running back, but just to say, you know, the handcuff is not always apparent in some situations. And then if you get into Atlanta, you got Coleman and Freeman. If one of them goes down, one's not a direct handcuff to the other. You know, Terran Ward's probably going to come up and be that next guy that maybe you want to get. That if you draft Freeman, because you have to know the situation. You got to do. You're gonna go in and you're gonna play best ball. You got to do a lot of homework on your depth.
Go ahead.
I'd be fine with Coleman and Freeman in best ball. I think that's a perfect situation for that.
Yeah, I'm gonna do a league and put both of them in a league and start them both.
I don't have a problem with doing them together.
I just want to see how it works.
What I'm saying is, get Terran Ward as your third then. Yeah.
You said something about a player that I disagree with. This Le'Veon Bell injury history thing, I disagree with that.
Why?
I think he's been targeted by Vontaze Burfict. And that's been his two injuries. Other than that, he's been durable. Now, Vontaze Burfict purposely hitting him, taking out his knees twice in his career, has really been only his injury thing. And you can't say that he lacks durability when you got a player targeting you like that. You feel what I'm saying?
Those have been the only two injuries in his career. He hasn't been banged up more than that.
I think those have been the only two injuries in his career.
Yeah, those have been the real two shit. I'm more concerned about the marijuana usage.
Yeah, that ball.
He's got off-field issues too, yeah.
Just to make the point, I took him number one this weekend. The guy caught 75 passes in 12 games. David Johnson caught 80 passes in 16 games. I mean, he basically had the same. I think he might even rush for more yards than David Johnson. And I think David Johnson is phenomenal. I would not have, if I had the second pick and I got Johnson, I would have been ecstatic too. But I think Le'Veon Bell, if on the field, is the best fantasy player in football.
You make a good argument. Bell had a core muscle surgery over the offseason, but he didn't miss no time from that, right? Mm-hmm. That's really it, though.
Well, you have the ACL.
When was the ACL was the Vontaze Burfict thing, right?
Sure, I believe so. Yeah.
And then I think the other time he got injured and missed significant time was another nasty hit by Burfict.
I believe.
Yeah, he's had those two serious injuries.
Yeah, and both of those was Burfict.
Yeah.
So I'm like, is that really, you know? First, if I was him, I would slap the shit out of Vontaze Burfict.
I don't want the Steelers should be going after him. But the other thing, it's football. We see this all the time. You can get hurt on any play. It's so like,
yeah.
You see guys, wide receivers running routes and tearing their ACL.
The scary thing about David Johnson is he led the league in touchdowns last year, and the guy is still growing. You know, he could be even better this year than he was last year.
You worry about his usage, that he's getting the football too much, David Johnson?
I think it's a good thing.
He's so versatile, and you have to look at the receiving core out there. Outside of Larry Fitzgerald, who do you trust?
Well, they are hyping John Brown once again. They're saying he's healthy.
Oh, God. Who's on the line?
By the way, just to be clear, Le'Veon Bell had a mid-foot sprain his rookie year.
The Miss Frank, that's right. Yep.
Yeah, that was his rookie year. Yeah, it wasn't an ACL. It was a torn MCL and PCL because of Vontaze Burfict.
Mm-hmm.
And other than that, I think that's it.
Yep. I remember the year he had the list, Frank, was his rookie year. I remember owning him when he came back from the injury.
Yes.
Then the next season I was on him, and then he went crazy. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When he's on the field, there's no better runner in fantasy football. But you make a lot of good points about the Burflick thing, you know.
844-843-6879.
That's not right.
844-843-6879. Mike from New Jersey, you're on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Doing quite well. What's going on?
This is Mike Cardano.
It is.
Corey.
What's the deal?
Corey, I want to ask you a question. Is Vontaze Burfict still playing the league?
Yeah, I believe Burfict is still playing. He'll be back this season, if I'm not mistaken. So you got to be careful.
So Le'Veon Bell still gonna have to face him?
Yeah, they play in the same division, so they'll see each other twice this season. But I think Bell would know now to try his best to be wary of where number 55 of the Cincinnati Bengals is at.
All I'm saying is none of the circumstances have changed, right?
You're right. The circumstances haven't changed. Burfict is still out there, but I think you can do a better job now. You know how Burfict plays. You know the rivalry between these two teams.
You can't necessarily escape the guy on the field, though.
No, you can't. But
you can't draft scared. I mean, Le'Veon Bell is just such a supreme talent, and you have to.
He's the best player in fantasy football.
But if I'm Mike Tillman, I'm like,
somebody
make sure this
Mike
guy
Trout
doesn't hurt
twice. Yeah. You know. Are you not going to draft him because he's in the AL West?
But when you're splitting hairs with David Johnson, you might make that decision. No.
I mean, I have no problem if somebody takes David Johnson over Le'Veon Bell. I was stating my case why I would take him on.
I mean, it wouldn't shock me if Johnson puts up even better numbers this year than he did last year.
Well, that's going to be pretty tough, though. That is going to be. I mean, if he can duplicate last year.
What's up,
Mike? All I'm saying is Le'Veon Bell knew about him after the first incident. So if it happens again this year, shame on you for just ignoring the fact.
Yeah, no doubt.
Circumstances haven't changed.
But you're not going to not draft Le'Veon Bell because of Vontaze Burfict twice a year.
I don't think that's been a debate, though.
The debate has been like, you know, out of the top three running backs, you know, would you rather have Bell or Johnson? And you have some minor concerns with Bell. They're not major concerns, but maybe that makes the decision for you.
Yeah, but I just hate when people say that, Le'Veon Bell has the injury thing. I think the injury thing is, like you said, like Gracie, the list, Frank, and then you had the situation with Burfict. Burfict is trying to injure him.
And Burfict will try to injure him again this year, to Mike's point. You would say, okay, the guy has sense and does not do it again. He obviously doesn't.
No, he's a madman.
Yeah.
That's where the Steelers have to step up their game, I think.
Exactly. That's where the Steelers got to come in and be like, you know, we got players, too, that'll take your guys out. They got a rookie running back that they love in Cincinnati now in Joe Mixon. And Ryan Sajir, you know, he can bring the hammer, too. And Mike Tomlin don't mind playing that type of football.
Are they quite that dirty, though?
You're right. Who?
The Steelers.
Steelers are the dirtiest team in the NFL.
Yes, they are. Very much so.
Roger Goodell has called Mike Tomlin to the New York a couple times. Like, yo, you got to calm it down.
That's true. So there you go. For more, of course, of Mike Florio's best ball article, that is inside the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package, which is available on Wednesday, get in on it. Fantasy Football Exclusive Edge Package, rotoexperts.com. Now, I want to begin naming that player for today. We'll be playing it the rest of the way. Got a lot of names here. Very, very excited about it. So,
these are active players?
These are all active players, okay. All players that are eligible to be drafted here in 2017. Gentlemen, are you ready?
Let's roll.
Bavone, have a little music, by the way, for this too, please. What? No, you don't want any music?
No, go ahead.
All right, here we go. I am a former first-round draft pick. I am currently 29 years old. I was born in Dallas, Texas.
Matthew Stafford.
It is not Matthew Stafford.
Kenny Britt.
It is not Kenny Britt. Is he from Jersey, Kenny Britt?
Yeah, I thought he was from Jersey.
But he's 29. I think he's 29. So
you would think he was older than that.
I am a former two-time unanimous All-American.
29. That's the thing.
For the third time last year, I played in 16 games. For the second time last year, I had at least 1,000 receiving yards.
Michael Crabtree?
It is, in fact,
nice job.
Michael Crabtree.
Nice job by Matt Madiga coming to play today, huh?
Here are the other clues. I have never had 10 touchdowns. I am currently on my second NFL team. He's wide receiver 20 off the board, according to Fantasy Pros. Number 45 overall, despite finishing as the wide receiver 12 last year in standard leagues.
He makes an interesting case, like when you take Amari Cooper and then a couple of rounds later.
So this is what I wanted to get into before the break. I said this back in January, and now we're in June, that Michael Crabtree will be on a significant number of my teams this year because of what you just said. Amari Cooper is going to go at the end of the first round or early in the second round. Michael Crabtree was a top 12 wide receiver last year, and he is not going until much later. Why? He's 29. He's not 35.
He's not a big play, sexy guy like Amari Cooper. This is the guy that moves the chains and gets the dirty part of the job done. And a lot of people just don't see that. You know, this is a powerful passing game, and he makes a lot of key catches for them.
People like sexy time.
Yeah,
people.
Sexy time.
When Cooper put it together though, and he put together a full season, Cooper's going to be better than Crabtree.
Michael Crabtree had more touchdowns and more receptions than Amari Cooper last year.
Amari Cooper got more potential, more upside.
Understand that, but you're drafting Amari Cooper 3 rounds earlier.
Yep.
Just saying. I love myself, Michael Crabtree, and you can't change my mind about that. How about that? We'll take a break. Matt's got a point. Let's see what the other guys can do when we return here on the Road to Experts in the Morning. Michael Crabtree, my affection is all his at the moment. Love this dude, and I hope you guys all love him too.
He's on the cover of Madden at one point.
Yeah, how about that?
He was pretty damn good in college.
Crabtree was a beast in college.
Texas.
Remember that game, him and Dez Bryant?
NCAA football?
No, he was on the cover of Madden.
No, I think Crabtree was never on the cover of Madden.
It was NCAA
football.
Yeah. It was NCAA. Yeah. Remember he had that game, that game...
Oklahoma State
and Texas and Texas Tech. And Dez Bryant and Michael Crabtree. That was an amazing game.
Awesome. Would you guys rather have Michael Crabtree or Keenan Allen?
I have Keenan Allen. I hate to say it.
It's a tough situation. I had this same situation. I had Crabtree was one of the guys. I had the 3-4 turn. I went Pryor and Adams, but Crabtree, Allen, Landry, Golden Tate was probably the guy I was going to take there. But I just went with Adams and stuff.
Okay.
I'm going to take Keenan Allen still. It's just like, if he stays healthy, the numbers can be through the roof PPR-wise.
Crabtree or Pryor?
Pryor for me. I think Terrell Pryor is one of the most intriguing players entering the season.
Pryor sold me by what he did in Cleveland last year. I didn't think he could do it, make that transformation the way he did, and now he's going to have a better quarterback. I got to go Pryor.
I could do Pryor today, Crabtree tomorrow.
See, it's very interesting because you're naming all
these. Close for me, though.
You're naming all these guys, Tate, Pryor, Allen, so on and so forth, and this is how Michael Crabtree keeps falling.
I would take Golden Tate. I think Golden Tate's the best receiver on that team. He gets 90 catches. He's guaranteed 90 catches every year.
The one problem for me with Tate, though, he gets the yards, he gets the catches, and he gets the touchdowns.
No touchdowns. Yeah. Anquan Boldin gone. I got to think he can maybe get a couple more touchdowns. Even if he doesn't, I think he's really looking at like 100 reception season coming up.
I don't disagree with that. I think, though, that the difference between Crabtree and Tate for me is the touchdowns.
It's fun.
Yeah.
Listen, I don't like Matt's hatred for Michael Crabtree.
I don't hate him. I was going to take him. He was one of like a handful of guys.
And he shows the whole hand fall over him.
You know, it's tough.
He had five fingers on the hand.
That's right.
Crabtree was the sixth, right?
Somebody did save me. I wasn't going to take him anyway. But right before my pick with the last pick in the third round, Sammy Watkins was taken.
Oh. All right, here we go. Next, number two. Matt's got a 1-point advantage over his two competitors here. Chris, music me, my man. Here we go. I am a former third round pick.
J.J.
It is not J.J.
My Matt trying to take it out right out the rip.
that would have been written.
Name that tune in one note.
I am currently 30 years old.
Over 30.
Much like Michael Crabtree, I was born and went to school in Texas.
Born and went to school in Texas.
I am a former Super Bowl champion.
Emmanuel Sanders. Bing, nice, let's go.
Wow. Wow. I didn't know these are so easy.
No, it wasn't. I didn't say nothing.
That was a hell of a job by you. The other clues. I'm currently on my second NFL team, much like Michael Crabtree. The other starting wide receiver made a Pro Bowl last year. I also made the Pro Bowl last year. My third consecutive year with 1,000 yards receiving. Currently 23 off the board, number 54 overall.
One of the most overlooked receivers in fantasy.
So this is clearly where I'm headed to this, right? Michael Crabtree and now Emmanuel Sanders. Corey, you guessed Emmanuel Sanders here.
Yeah.
Where are you on Manny Sanders?
I'm with him. I'm back on, especially if you can get him as a wide receiver 3 off flex. People are down on him. People are going to talk about Trevor Siemian not being a good quarterback. They're going to obviously Demaryius Thomas. They're going to talk up the Denver Broncos running game more. But Demaryius Thomas is safe and sound. He's as good as they come when it comes to predictability and reliability. He's going to give you those numbers season after season. People overlook him, you know what I'm saying? So I'm signing up for Emmanuel Crabtree Emmanuel Sanders as a wide receiver 3 as a flex in the PPR. Because I think Trevor Siemian is going to have a lot of volume this year. And Demaryius Thomas is not going to catch all of those passes. They have no tight end to speak of, even though they're talking up A.J. Derby now. And that passing game is 2 pieces, Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders, and I'm in on both.
So interesting. Last year in an auction, I drafted Emmanuel Sanders for very, very little. Like, it was toward the end of the draft. It was toward the end of the draft. Not a lot of people have money left, and I realized it's skewed. But nobody wanted Emmanuel Sanders, Scotty, because they looked at the quarterback situation, and they're like, ugh, we can't do it. Corey said it right, in my opinion. Much like the Jets, you know, a year or two ago, where it was Brandon Marshall and Eric Decker, and that's it. This is what we have in Denver. It's Demaryius Thomas and Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders, and that is it.
How else are they really going to move the ball? It's like, you look at the running game, you can't depend on who you have there as much as you can the wide receivers. Now, even if Trevor Siemian or Paxton Lynch, you know, they don't do it for you. They don't do it for you, A, because you don't want them as a starting quarterback on your favorite team, or B, you don't want them on your fantasy quarterback. They're still going to have to complete passes to somebody and move that ball, even if they're playing from behind. So I'm with it.
He was Sanders was the 29th wide receiver taken off the board in my recent draft champions. And like Corey said, you guys have, Scott said as well, those are the 2 options there. One guy for Dynasty, though, I will throw out, or, you know, you want to take a shot on in a draft champions type format, is Carlos Henderson. I would throw, you know, a late pick on him.
A dollar million holler type thing?
Yeah, in a, you know, 20 rounds or something like that, or something very late.
I'll tell you what, the Emmanuel Sanders, much like Michael Crabtree, a guy that's going to get overlooked. He's wide receiver 29, as you just said, off the board. And he's going just later than he should for what production he gave, right? 3 consecutive 1,000-yard seasons. He does it every year. Like, he is as consistent as they come. We're looking for consistency. We're looking at managing risk. That's what Emmanuel Sanders is, I believe. All right. 1 for Matt. 1 for Corey. Scotty, this one's got to be you, my man. Here we go. I am a former second round pick. I was not born in Texas. I was born in Palo Alto and went to school in Palo Alto. I am currently 24 years old.
I'm going to take a shot here. Devontae Adams.
I didn't know Devontae Adams went to USC.
He did not go to USC.
Stanford,
very good. Palo Alto, my bad.
Devontae Adams, indeed. Adams, by the way, didn't go to Stanford either. He went to Fresno State.
Oh, okay.
Yes. He went to Fresno State. And I'm really annoyed you got it so quickly, because my next clue is like, the other starting wide receivers on my team are all former second round picks. How cool is that?
That is a good.
Isn't that a nice one? I never got to it because of you, Matt Modica. Last season was the second year of my career in which I played 16 games. The first season in which I started 15 of them. I had double-digit touchdowns for the first time in my career, and I missed out on 1,000 yards by just 3 yards. The other guys on my receiving crew have made Pro Bowls. I have not. I am currently wide receiver 18 off the board, number 37 overall, and last year I finished as wide receiver 9. Matt, we talked about Michael Crabtree just a moment ago, and one of the people you took over Michael Crabtree, you just said it was Devontae Adams. Now, I remember when the season ended, we were just kind of taking a look at where players would go. Devontae Adams was an interesting name because a lot of the fantasy football community have been burned by him in the past. It's an older Devontae Adams. It's a little bit of a different offense for Green Bay. And let's be honest, Randall Cobb is a much different player than he was in the past. Can Devontae Adams build on the success that he had in his junior NFL season?
I think he can. One of the things I will state, going into last season, I thought he was one of the worst receivers in the NFL. I mean, I thought this guy
was
garbage after watching him that previous season. Last season, he set career highs across the board. He pretty much, from weeks 1 through 8 and then 9 through 16, was like the 14th wide receiver in points and the 16th wide receiver in points. That's according to Pro Football Focus. So this is a guy that isn't a great offense. If Jordy Nelson comes down a little, he could rise up a little. I mean, even if he repeats something similar to last season, the touchdowns might be difficult to reproduce, say, getting 12. But he probably dropped about 3 or 4 that I can remember off the top of my head. So, I don't know. Maybe he could still catch, 12 touchdowns.
In 2015, when Jordy went out, everybody expected this guy to step up and take advantage of the opportunity, and it just didn't happen. Last year with Jordy back, not nearly as much pressure on him. He really worked on things during the offseason last year. There were all positive reports coming into the year, but nobody wanted to buy in. And then this guy became a waiver wire just darling. And now in this offense with Aaron Rodgers, and they don't feel like they can trust Randall Cobb, he's the number two guy. And that's a very productive fantasy role.
I don't know if I'm ready to call him a number two yet. I think Cobb was banged up a lot last year, so I think that played a role into it.
I think he's
a
number two in terms of what you'll get statistically.
I think he can definitely very well be that guy. The quarterback's still going to throw the football close to 700 times, so it's more than enough yards and targets and opportunities for Devontae Adams. So I'm back in on Adams. It's just about where I'm taking him at and who's around there. I don't want him as a wide receiver one. Other than that, I'm fine.
That was my next question. I'm sorry, Matt. That was my next question for you, Corey. Where do we feel comfortable taking him as? You're very happy as a wide receiver two, you're telling me?
I'm satisfied as a wide receiver two.
I'm satisfied.
I want him as a wide receiver three because it's still some... He still had 2015 where he stunk.
Sure.
Last year he was great. Post-hype sleeper, he came through. He still stunk in 2015.
Yeah, but I'm past that 2015. Yeah, I'm impressed last year. I don't know. I forget about 2015.
What if Cobb bounces back this year?
He's a different player than he was in 2015.
Okay. They got Martellus Bennett. Now, I understand it's enough to go around.
Say Cobb plays better. You are right. He was banged up last year. Say Cobb does better. But say Jordy takes a step back. I mean, Jordy is another year older. I just think there's
so much... another year out of the ACL injury.
I mean, that's true. But you know how we say about these tall, big receivers, like, you know, once they hit that certain age, they do kind of come down. The thing about Adams is, I'll state it again, it's not easy. He's going to go in the middle of the third.
There's that trust factor and connection with him and Rodgers now that doesn't revert.
I agree. They built this chemistry and they built that trust. They didn't have that in 2015. I totally agree with Scott. We're going to come back. I'm going to give Devontae Adams versus a couple of players. We'll find out what's next in the OGs. Stick around. This is the Fantasy Sports Radio Network's Roto Experts in the Morning. We wrap up coming up next. Couple minutes left here.
This one, Scotty Love, favorite jam.
On the Roto Experts in the Morning. Devontae Adams, wide receiver 9 last year. I already know Matt's answers. I don't want to ask him. I want to ask you, Scott. Devontae Adams or Sammy Watkins?
Sammy Watkins.
Corey?
Oh man, this is a tough call right here. I gotta go with my son, Sammy Watkins. I love Devontae Adams though, but my Sammy Watkins, it's
can't break up.
Sammy Watkins will win people fantasy championships this year.
Or lose.
Matt Madik, I said the same thing last year.
And I'm doubling down.
Devontae Adams or Allen Robinson, Matt?
Jeez, I mean, I love Allen Robinson. I just think that offense is going to be really different this year.
I'm taking Devontae Adams for the record.
I'll probably go Allen Robinson by a hair.
Okay. Scott?
Devontae Adams.
Corey.
I feel like they're going to run the ball, like he says, more.
Devontae Adams.
Right. But they are going to run, but he's still going to be the number one runner.
He still is, but Devontae Adams better pass.
Devontae Adams or Alshon Jeffrey? Corey.
Oh, please, Alshon. I'm going to go, oh, boy. I want to get behind Alshon Jeffrey. I really do.
So say him.
I think I'm going to go Devontae Adams.
Scott.
I feel exactly the same as Corey. I want to like Alshon Jeffrey, but
make
I
it a sweep.
Like
I feel the same way these two gentlemen do. The same exact way.
All right, Devontae Adams is just for Scott. Devontae Adams or Brandon Cooks, given what we talked about earlier today?
Devontae Adams.
You guys are both taking
Brandon
Cooks.
Cooks. Brandon Cooks.
Right, Corey?
What's up?
Brandon Cooks over Devontae Adams?
Oh, I'm taking Brandon Cooks.
Okay. And the last one will be Devontae Adams or Demaryius Thomas.
Devontae Adams.
Devontae Adams over Demaryius Thomas. Interesting.
That's another real tough one. I'll probably go Demaryius Thomas. That's a really close to
DT. I'm going Demaryius Thomas.
I think I would go DT also, but it's really close
for me.
Really close.
I'm going to take Devontae Adams. I think you get more touchdowns out of it.
Okay. Corey.
Yo.
Very fun couple weeks of old school fantasy coming
up.
Yeah,
coming up next.
Starting
on old
today.
School. Starting today. We're looking for the next fantasy radio star. We're looking for the next big time fantasy analyst. So we have a gentleman in here today, Mike Vivolo. He's from right here in New York City. We're going to grill him. We're going to talk to him. We're going to see what kind of chops he has. If he can be, you know, if he can be sitting up here like us one day. If he can be the next King, and can he be the next Scott Engel? Can he be the next Matt Modica to come out of nowhere? Can he be the next big time success story like the Fantasy Executive? You feel what I'm saying?
Sure.
Can he be the next Greg Sussman?
There's only one such minute. But if he gets three questions wrong, the buckle will come out.
So we're going to talk with him. We're going to grill him on a little fantasy baseball. We're going to talk a little fantasy football with him. Obviously, we're getting ready for that part of the year. And we got the Masters this week. So
we don't have the Masters.
The U.S. Open. I'm sorry.
That's my favorite one.
One of the
U.S.
majors.
Open is.
Is it in Bethesda, the U.S. Open this year? Or is it in Philly?
I don't know.
Okay, well, maybe Mike will know that. So then, we'll start to break down with him on old school fantasy. See what his fantasy chops are. See if he can be fantasy idol.
There you go. The U.S. Open.
I'm
course,
Simon Crowell.
Cowell.
Yeah. Isaiah Crowell.
No, you're Simon Crowell. Yeah.
The U.S. Open, of course, is this weekend. The Stanley Cup is over. You heard it. Scott's news up there at the top of the hour. Pittsburgh, back to back Stanley Cup champions. Matty.
My Pittsburgh Penguins.
Crosby is the man. That's his third one.
There you go.
Congrats,
right.
Congrats to the Gwins.
Back to back. And then the Warriors will go for their second title in 3 years tonight.
Dub Nation wraps it
home.
Up tonight.
If they don't, though,
it's going to get very hairy. But this is Draymond Green's redemption game right here. This is Draymond Green's redemption game.
We are there in game five tonight. Again, if they don't win it tonight, things get very, very hairy.
Because if they're playing a game on Sunday night,
that's an issue.
That's going to be an issue.
It's
even
Sunday
music
night.
For
it's crazy. Huh? How many days you haven't been to? Yeah. That's crazy, man. That's going to do it for us here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. For Matt Modica, for Scott Engel, and for the Fantasy Executive, I am Greg Sussman. Old School Fantasy is out next. Who will be the next fantasy radio star? Have a fantastic Monday afternoon. Stay cold. We'll see you tomorrow, 8 a.m. Eastern, here on the Roto Experts in the Morning.